Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Thank you so much for staying with us. So we continue with our programming. And as you know, at this time, we have Impact, where we discuss really wonderful people and organizations that are doing amazing things in this country amidst all that we are seeing at the moment and all the political shenanigans. And today we are speaking to the founder and director of Bet on Better. Bet on Better is a fantastic, fantastic platform where you are able to really, really get all kinds of ideas of how to support communities, you know, whether you want to support a soup kitchen, whether you want your to support it. Really, it's really, really quite a wonderful platform. I'm going to be speaking to the director now, Nainin Levitz, who is on the line with us this evening. Nainin, thank you so much for making time for us and welcome to Point of View on Kaya.
Thanks for having me.
We just wanted to just obviously highlight some of the work that you do and look back and where it all started, because it must be really difficult when so many people are in need of help. So where did Bet on Better start and how did it come about?
So the journey started about 20 years ago when we went on a hike in an area called the Hurt Morocco in the northwest. It is the most beautiful area to hike in, an amazing community of people, tourism, but a poverty level like you've never seen before. So, and I think once you've been there and you've hiked in the area, you're just kind of going back to it. So that was really where it all began.
Yeah.
And we met some lovely people and we started supporting the community. And from there, it's just grown into a huge...
And when you started, Nainin, I mean, did you even know, you know, how it would look like? What the support for the community you would look like and what form it would take?
No. I never ever thought we would be at this point we are right now.
Mm.
But things change and evolve and... Every day something new happens.
Was it easy to reach out and, you know, and start building the relationship between yourself and the community?
It actually was. They're a very welcoming community.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like once you've been there, you just want to go back and they welcome you back. They're a very welcoming, homely community. And everything you do in the community, you have the support of all the farmers, of all the guest houses, of everybody wants to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the projects, they want to bring their vegetables they're growing to the soup kitchen. Everyone wants to do their bit.
Yeah.
It's almost like nobody wants to live below the poverty line. So what... It works because everyone is working towards something.
I mean, if you can give me a bit of an estimate, how many families sort of are you supporting there in that community?
So our winter soup kitchens, which really run now from April to about August, we're probably feeding around 15,000 people a week.
Sure.
Yeah, it's huge.
I mean that's quite a, you know, an achievement, but on the other hand, quite distressing to know that so many people need just to be fed.
I think it's just unfortunately the times we're living in, and this is just one community. I think there's lots out there.
It obviously evolved from just supporting that community. And let's talk about some of the other projects that you are leading.
Okay. So which ones would you like
any,
to talk
any.
About?
You pick and you go.
So what are we leading? So we've got our early learning center because I'm very passionate about the fact that if we can get our children... learning and into school at the correct age and level, they actually do stand a great chance. And we follow the journey with our kids and work with the schools all the way through to the matriculant level. And we've got quite a good project at the matric level with our learners, which we are great. We had really good pass rates with.
And where is this happening?
It's also in the northwest. So everything we do is actually in the northwest. We don't really do much in Joburg.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of organizations in Joburg doing amazing work. And I think people are forgotten that there are other communities not far from where we live.
A lot of these communities, you know, they were empowered by mining, and for some, you know, those mining activities have decreased quite some, and our reporting is that it really has left communities devastated.
Well, yeah, I mean, the mines have closed down.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just look at the job, there is no jobs.
Yeah.
So, and COVID hit these areas quite badly. So they lost a lot from tourism that they're still building back up. But, you know, if you go there, there's an amazing spirit. You wouldn't think that there are people actually living there who are just trying to make a better life for themselves.
In terms
That's quite
of...
incredible.
Yeah, and you know, I think what is quite worrying is that there just isn't hope beyond survival. You know, there is no work out there. Nobody's, you know, industrializing those areas. And so it's quite hopeless in a way.
I can't look at it as hopeless. We've got to look at it as wheels within wheels that turn. And eventually the wheels will turn in the right direction. We've got to, like, keep a positive outlook that eventually everything's going to turn in a positive way. And as long as we keep the children going to school and we keep their tummies full and warm at night, we can break the cycle for some of these children. And they want to break the cycle. I don't think anybody chooses to want to live in poverty.
What kind of support are you getting from the general public? And, you know, is that the only support you're getting?
So we've always done our fundraising a little bit out of the box.
Yes.
Where we've tried to do it without any intervention from government or any of those sectors. So our fundraising has always been done on, we look for, like, great local products to sell. We recently had an ice skating event. We're going to be doing another ice skating event for Mandela Day. So we look at doing different things for fundraising. We're going to be for community hours for the IED kids. We're going to be hosting a puncho there where they come and make punchos. Was the concept that a puncho you can wear during the day.
Yes.
And you can put that at night as a blanket.
Yes.
And the kids can actually get their community hours done. So we're always looking for ideas that are not in the norm of fundraising. And I must say, we do have people who support us who are amazing. And so we've been very lucky in the sense that we put it out there and somehow it always comes together.
Yeah. You know, you said you had to go this way. Was money or any type of support coming from bigger companies sort of dwindling, or you've never tried that route?
We've just never tried that route. I think there's so many NGOs who are trying that route. That we just made the decision we weren't going to try that route and we were going to try another way.
What would you say are the biggest challenges, Amy?
I think food stability is the biggest challenge we have. But I think that's across the board. I mean, I see, like, in Jabe Park in Joburg, mm-hmm. they've got a beautiful vegetable garden growing. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yes.
But they don't have a consistent supply of vegetable seeds.
Mm.
So we do often give them seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes we get, through community hours, the kids actually grow seedlings. Then mm-hmm. we send it to these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's such an amazing project, but yet nobody knows about it.
So some of these young people, they themselves they grow their own seedlings and then donate to you, and then you can then pass it over to these food gardens.
Yeah. So, I mean, there is incredible stuff happening around Joburg.
Mm.
There's also, I can't remember their name, there's another organization that runs a feeding scheme and homework project, also near Jabir Park.
Mm-hmm.
Also doing incredible stuff with the street kids.
What do you think would change, and you know, you are dealing with, you start at foundation level, with the creche levels going all the way up. Do the children that you get to track, you know, does it start making a difference after all those many years, contributing back into their families?
I think it does make a difference. Not with all of them, mm. but definitely some of them.
Mm. Mm.
It definitely does. And the more you track them and the more you're involved with them.
Mm.
I mean, I've got kids in the schooling system who will go to Santa, they call her Mama Santa, when they get their reports. So she can send me photos of their reports.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they're so excited that they've actually done something, or we set goals and have achieved them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the rewards are so small. It's like a packet of chips.
Mm.
But they're going to school for these little rewards along the way.
Mm.
You know, it's the same as when we run the soup kitchens. We also run the recycling projects. So when they bring their bags of recycling, they get rewards.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a bouncy ball or a little packet of chips, could even be a sucker.
Hmm.
Just trying to show them from a very young age the importance of keeping their environment clean.
Hmm, hmm, hmm.
Because, unfortunately, the whole community, from their mothers to their grandmothers, are illiterate. So we've got to get the younger generations reading and writing.
You know,
and it starts at the ground level.
I'm really encouraged by you saying that it's not hopeless. And clearly it takes you being on the ground not to feel hopeless, and to feel like, you know, things are not as bleak as some of us may think they are. It's astounding to me.
No, I mean, you can't wake up in the morning and say, things are awful, things are terrible. You've got to wake up in the morning and think, look what a beautiful day it is.
Mm.
We've got the beautiful weather, the sun is shining.
Mm.
You know, if everybody just did something today, it doesn't matter how small, it makes an impact.
Mm.
And I believe there's good in everybody.
You've obviously been, you know, encouraged to continue. And I wonder whether there were times when it was too difficult to continue.
No, there are times when you think to yourself, are we going to get through winter?
Mm.
But you know what? You just put it out there and it happens. Or something will come across your desk, or something will happen. And it just kind of comes together.
Yeah.
Or you'll have a farmer come phone and say, well, I can't sell this crop of potatoes.
Please come and get some.
So we'll be making potato soup for a week. You know, it just kind of, there's a ripple effect.
Mm.
And it does come together. And I think a lot of it is how you perceive of your day is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe that it's going to be a great day and it's going to work out, something good will happen.
How do people get involved? How do people support what you're doing? You know, can people lend a hand? How does it work?
So we actually do have quite, believe it or not, quite a lot of people in the school holidays.
Yes.
Do go out and help in the food kitchen.
Yes.
A lot of their children have done community hours with us.
Mm-hmm.
So one of our big community hour drives are those meals in a bag.
Yes.
And once they've been out there, they just come back every year or every holiday.
So do they go out with you to do the cooking?
Yeah, they go out with their parents, they book into one of the guest houses, and they just find out from us where the soup kitchens are running, and they go and they help. You know, we keep in mind our soups are cooked in the old cast iron pots on fire. We don't cook on electricity. It's all on wood-burning fire. And they come out and they help make the soup in the big pots, and they go out on the buckies to distribute. It's actually quite an experience.
And the impact on those children who get involved and get to see this, what would you say, you know, what impact does it have on them?
I think they're there for life.
Mm.
I mean, I've had kids matriculate who still come out.
Mm.
And I'm still like, I mean, now when I decided I wanted to do a scarf drive, I found one of them who's doing something at the and said, I want a poster to do a scarf drive.
Mm.
And I got like 6 posters.
Mm.
So they, even though they've left school, they're still involved because they get drawn into the community and the projects.
Mm. Mm.
And they go to the schools and they see the kids. Mm. And then I think another part of it is you come across the kids in the, unfortunately, in the shack fires, which are quite sad.
Yeah.
So when we do see that, we do try and help the kids.
Yeah.
You know, if we see a kid who needs glasses, we're going to do what we can to get them glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Or if a kid's been burned, we're going to try and sort out their burns.
Mm-hmm. Well, give us those details, Annine. How do people get involved? How do people support what you're doing?
So I think our Facebook page or website has all our information.
Okay.
And people can phone me.
Mm.
I'm always available.
Are you able to just hand out that number where people can maybe WhatsApp you?
Sure. Yeah, the number we're on.
Okay. All right.
And I think our Facebook page we're quite good at. We do update it quite a lot.
And people can find you on Facebook as well as...
Yeah. And then we've also got broadcast groups when people get in contact with us, where we're constantly sending out new ideas or things that we're doing or what we need or what we don't need.
Yeah. It's Better and Better. And Nainine, won't you just verify the number that people can get you on? Is it at 083 number 676-6188?
That's it.
All right. I really appreciate you making time for us this evening. And
no, thank you.
Thank you very, very much for what you're doing.
You can come out to the Alfred Kitchens in America.
I think we will most definitely want to do that. So, you know, we'll take you up on that for sure.
Come and experience a day or two with us.
No, that would be absolutely lovely. Thanks for the invite, and I think we'll take you up on that.
Brilliant.
Thanks, Nainine Livitz. And the number is 083-676-6188. A lot of the work they do is in the northwest. And I think it's Bet on Better. Have a look at their Facebook page. And that number again is 083-676-6188. It brings us to the end of the show for tonight. I'll be back tomorrow at 8.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.